Hey everybody, welcome to Wine by the Case, Uncorking Legal Insight.
One bottle at a time. I'm Chris Sensnick, and I have also with me today my charming co-host, Alexis Rosenberg.
We're doing this, as you can see, a little different, but you're still going to get the great wine and the great legal insight. So today, we're going to be talking about a case out of Port Charlotte, Florida. Yes, a Florida man for you.
Well, I mean, we've got Florida man vibes. It's also giving a little pirate vibes because the gentleman in this case decided that he had the right to just yell that he was going to board someone else's boat, board their boat. And we've also got all this notion of he reported it all. So we're going to be dealing today with what is necessarily a lot of things related to Florida, but also the legal implications of boarding somebody else's boat.
So you all, our listeners, are probably, I'm sure, familiar with the viral, and I mean viral, it got, Chris can tell you how many hits that went all over the world about an individual that was on his boat, and then somebody they got in an argument, and I think it was a little misidentification or confusion as to who was whom, but the individual ends up boarding someone else's boat, and it's actually caught all on video, hence why it went viral.
Well, not only was it caught on video, but, and we'll talk about this in a bit, the mistaken identity problem that we had, the person whose boat was being boarded was absolutely terrified because they were being accused of doing something they hadn't done. It was definitely a younger person, probably an older teen, who is just not knowing what to do about this man jumping and boarding on his boat. I mean, we have a whole lot to talk about here because this boat captain invited himself onto this teenager's private property. I mean, we've got assault here because that is definitely a scary thing to be on the water and have someone just jump on your boat.
Yeah, I mean, the video definitely shows how terrified the, like you said, teenager was. I think he said at one point he was a kid, but I do think he was a older teen. And I think he handled it very well. But before we get in and dive into the actual, like, different legal issues that are involved here, what are we sipping while we're at sea today, Chris?
Well, I picked one I think is perfect for this. It's seaworthy because it's Red Schooner. Now, what's really cool about Red Schooner is this is voyage number 10. It's a Caymus. So you expect it to be good. And I got to show you, because, you know, we've talked about corks before. Their cork has the old school, like, scrimmage.
Oh, that's cool. That's so pretty.
The scrimshaw that they used to do with carving into the whalebone and things like that. So they really did a good job of, well, I expect that from Caymus, of doing it. But what's really cool about this is it's a Malbec. So the grapes come from Argentina, and then they put them in this huge container and ship them to California for Caymus to do its magic. So you're getting a Caymus quality product with the best Malbec grapes you can find at a fairly reasonable price for Caymus from 60 to 90. So I'm going to pour it. I've been excited about this because this is a really nice Malbec.
And I'm jealous. I'm not getting any today. And so that kind of sucks. But I'll have to go and pick up a bottle for myself.
You do.
So I can see if what you're saying is I agree with.
Well, and interestingly enough, because they do different voyages depending on the vintage year. So there's voyage 10, there's voyage 11. And let's say for, you know, what we're dealing with on our video today, our podcast today, the young man whose boat was boarded never wants another voyage like that again. So this one.
So how does it smell?
It smells really rich and earthy with kind of a back end of like a fig and blackberry. I mean, this one's, yeah, this is definitely a 9 on a scale of 1 to 10.
You would get that one again.
I would definitely buy this one again without a shadow of a doubt.
So do you think that maybe the person that was on that video that boarded the boat, maybe it had a little wine before, maybe?
A little wine and probably a whole lot more something else, because he did not seem rational when you watched that. And again, this notion of, well, the crimes that he committed. I mean, we've got state crimes. We've got potential federal crimes. I mean, tell us what assault is, Alexis.
Well, before we get to that, I think you brought up a really good point that this was on the water. And so there are the crimes that you can commit on land, you can also commit on water. But as well as we may have possibly, although I don't think in this particular case he was charged with any federal maritime crime,
Not yet.
but there are when you're on water, those are some things that you need to be concerned with. I think one of the reason that he was we have the assault issue is assault, you don't actually have to make physical contact in Florida with the individual. So it's actually the fear or apprehension of possibly being battered, which requires physical contact. And that, I mean, th that video definitely definitely from my perspective, allegedly, indicates that the individual, the victim, was fearful. I mean, he was his by his voice and everything else. But do you want to get into how important that video is going to potentially be if there happens to be a trial as well as evidence to the things that he's been charged with?
Definitely, because you've got everybody's seen the video, like you said, viral with millions and millions of views. I think 6, 7 million at this point.
Wow.
Yeah, I mean it's crazy, but I think it's because people are intrigued by the level of shall we say pirate vibe that's giving. I mean, it really is, because he keeps yelling at him and he keeps saying things like, "Well, I'm in the military," and the young man's like, "Well, thank you for your service, but you've got the wrong guy." You know, he keeps trying to necessarily try to go, "What are you doing? What are you doing?" And he gets closer and closer, and you can hear his fear raising. You can hear
Yeah, I
fear
agree.
changing. You can see him moving away because you think they're filming it, and
Begging, at
he's
one point begging,
yeah,
please, you
right.
know.
I'm just a kid. I'm just a kid. And him going, "You've got the wrong person." And all of that is going to go to the notion of assault. I mean, clearly there was harm that was very, very real that could happen. Now, again, he backed off, which is a good thing. So that's why we don't get to the battery. But that goes back to what you said earlier about the federal crimes. I still think there's a potential for them to look at maritime law, Jones Act, and things like that. And the federal criminal branch, the U.S. Attorney's Office could jump in as well because of how viral this has been and how very real the fear of that young man is comes across so well. So I cannot imagine that we're going to be able to find, shall we say, a neutral jury because so many people have seen it. But anybody seeing that video is going to know without a shadow of a doubt how afraid the young man was.
Well, and you put it before a jury, 100%. I agree. I mean, when I watched it, it seemed to me that other than the young man leaving prior to it escalating, I think that he was really handling it very well. He really was trying to de-escalate the situation, by not coming back, like you said, by thanking him for his service. What is interesting is the defendant and the aggressor. There were other people on his boat.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah, because that was the comment. We're all military, and that's what he said. Thank you for your service. So, like, but dude, leave me alone. I'm not doing anything here. So you had not only witnesses, but you had people who didn't intervene when they saw something happening, including what every sailor knows: you don't board someone else's boat without permission or consent. The same as what happens to you if you jump over the fence of somebody else's property without their permission. You've got some potential crime.
Right.
Here, the adults didn't do anything. So, could there be any sort of problems with them? Well, they didn't board the boat and they didn't participate
And
in.
they didn't create, I mean, there's no evidence that they created the situation. There's no evidence that they were egging him on. But obviously you would think with someone who was at that level that there should have been some communication. Maybe it wasn't caught on film, because this was being filmed by the victim. So maybe we weren't hearing what they were saying. They weren't talking as loud. We don't know we don't know any of that, at all. But I mean, let's get into, not that we're giving legal advice, we're just having a conversation about this viral video. I mean, do you think, Chris, there was anything that he possibly could have done other than, like I said, possibly have left prior to it really escalating to prevent this, to make the situation better? What do you think about that?
That I think it's a really curious sort of thing to think about, because if, you know, as a reasonable adult, if someone is starting to antagonize me or make threats to me or start to be overly aggressive, my thought outside of the legal world is to de-escalate.
Right.
Why do I need to be engaging with these strangers? They don't mean anything to me. It's like, God bless you.
Wait, especially with Florida being open carry state,
right,
when we're talking about
right
firearms. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Exactly. So that's the sort of thing I go, again, I take the sailor's age into account there, of not necessarily making the best judgment, but he was filming the whole thing. So is the filming for his protection, or is it just that's sort of the national code for young people these days? When you
right
start interaction, you film it. But it's
but
going.
That's a good point. I was wondering the same thing, because I have to say that if I was in that situation, and maybe there was more that had happened prior to starting the filming.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe this wasn't as it appears the initial. Maybe this had been going on for even longer, which gets back to why he just didn't leave
right
the situation. But so I think we've like, it'll be interesting to see what people's takeaway is. I would like people to comment below what they thought. What was their gut reaction when they saw this video? Mine was fear for the victim.
It really is. And, you know, sailors tend to have a pretty good code if you help somebody out on the open seas, even if you don't know them. So here it may have been another fear that if he started trying to get out of the situation, they chase him out in open water because they were being so aggressive.
Right.
So still, there might be somebody else who was in the area who may have seen it and possibly come to assist and go, guys, whatever's going on here, just stop it and move along. So
right,
I that's an issue too. But boarding his boat, that's not his property. That is not a public space. They need a permission and consent. So I think, you know, they've got some real things that they can work on from the criminal side. And plus, let's face it, the world's best, you know, boat charter captain probably is not booked up anymore. And I'm sure that he's lost.
Self-proclaimed.
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 Right. But that notion of people's lives are over to a certain extent. I mean, how can you be impartial if you see this video?
Right.
It would be very.
Well, so I want to thank our viewers for sailing with us today,
yeah,
down this lane and tasting this amazing wine that is a 9. I didn't get to try. And comment below. Tell us what you think. Do you taste the wine? Comment below. Tell us what you think.
Yeah.
And
It's a 9. It's a good pick.
So thank you for uncorking Legal Insight and this time.
One bottle at a time. One small, fantastic bottle.
Cheers.
Cheers.